is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. I am the Iron Hamster. Countdown to Porkfest. One day. Actually, I think there's people there now. When we're driving out of town tomorrow, we're going to be listening on the radio to the Freedom Fiends from Porkfest being done by people other than me. That is going to be strange. Yeah. On the other end of the tubes, we have fellow Porkanaut, Garrett Fox, the Foxy Fox. Is that your name?
Funky Fox.
That makes it sound like you need a shower. Okay, Funky Fox.
Yeah, it doesn't make it sound like I can dance really good in bell bottoms or anything.
In the 70s, yeah. Like, I'm just a bill up on Capitol Hill. Do-do-do-do. Wake up, America. Wake up, sheeple. Chickens are dinosaurs. Look it up. You're eating dinosaurs, and so are your kitties. Dinosaurs,
you know, I gotta say,
chickens are dinosaurs. So are birds. All birds.
Every time I hear that intro music, I just see, like, a little miniature band of kitties, like, headbanging on stage with guitars and microphones going, rah, 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 rah.
You should listen to the whole song. Maybe sometime during this show, let's play the whole song that's from.
It's a good song.
Yeah. It might be radio friendly, but we have a cuss dump.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have to open up because...
Maybe you need to check your lyrics.
Maybe you need to check your privilege.
Check your band privilege.
Check your band privilege. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a rock star.
Are you?
No. Always wanted to be.
Dude, Porkfest.
Oh, yeah. I get my rock star moments up there on the karaoke stage.
You do karaoke?
Yeah, once in a while, I get talked into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it, even though I'm a pretty darn good singer. First of all, I'm doing too many real things at Porkfest. Well, not that having fun with karaoke isn't real, but the other thing is actually like, if you're a really good singer, you generally don't do well at karaoke. It's not really about the singing quality.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's more of the on stage presence, performance sort of thing.
Yeah.
It is fun though, because a lot of people will take, you know, typical songs and they'll kind of rewrite their own lyrics with a liberty leaning to them.
Oh God,
it's fun.
Oh gosh. okay.
All right. So no karaoke from Michael. Got it.
That's okay. Yeah. Did you know that Abe Lincoln once said the idea of secession is the essence of anarchy?
Oh, I like that. That should be on a bumper sticker.
That should be on the back of a penny. Yeah. Yeah. He was saying it like it's a bad thing. You know, it kind of reminds me of there's a Simpsons where Bart's running for student council against Martin Prince, the head king nerd, and they're showing their campaigns. It's kind of a montage, and they show Martin is holding a sign angrily that says a vote for Bart is a vote for anarchy, and Bart is holding a sign that says the same thing.
Okay, I haven't seen that episode, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to talk about the Stockholm Amendment. It's actually this proposed bill, the Stockman, Steve Stockman bill. We call it the Stockman Amendment because I think it was Nima Vahdati who coined the use of the phrase, the existing phrase, Stockholm Syndrome for people loving the state. Because, you know, a really good example of it is people at the Bundy Ranch facing off against the federal government, and the people from the Bundy Ranch are pointing guns at the federal government. But the people at the Bundy Ranch pointing the guns are waving the same flag as the people they're pointing guns at. They have Stockholm syndrome, which is where people bond with their captors. When they're kidnapped, they bond with and get an emotional connection to their captors. Sometimes they join them. Like, who was it who did that? Patty Hearst. Patty Hearst was kidnapped and then ended up robbing banks, supposedly voluntarily, with her captors. But a lot of people, it's just like, you know, when the kidnapping's over, you miss them. And I think that happens with a lot of people of why they support things done by the state. This happens in every country. I'm not blaming America. I'll never blame America. Everyone does equally stupid things everywhere. And, you know, when you support your captors who would just as easily see you dead or in prison. You know, here's the thing, like, people say, yeah, with a good government, wonderful, great, blah, 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 support the whatever. The government, if they feel like it, they will easily come steal your house tomorrow. You know, if they, not even if they want to put a highway through or a hospital or something that's supposedly for the whole public good, but you know, if they want to sell it to some chain store and they can get more taxes doing that than having you live in your house, they will kick you out and give you way below market rate and force you out. And if you stay, they will, you know, send a litany of men with pieces of paper over to your house. And then eventually they'll start sending a litany of men with pieces of paper who have guns on their hips. And eventually they'll just send a whole pack of those wild dogs who have AR-15s or, you know, some full auto variant, you know, burst fire variant, and goon armor, and throw a flashbang in your house and murder you to take your house and increase the tax base by, you know, renting it out to Cats R Us or some chain store.
Cats R Us, that sounds like a nice place.
Well, that would serve the public good, I'm sure. That would serve the general welfare. Kitties!
I would gladly leave my home if it was for a Cats R Us.
I wouldn't. I would gladly bring cats into my home and be a crazy cat lady. Yeah,
your house is Cats R Us.
My house is a cat ranch. Yeah, it's actually not. Ugh, we got a guy.
So I wonder.
Well,
I
put
wonder
it this way. We love cats so much, we're paying a guy to live in our house while we're gone to keep an eye not just on the house but on the kitties, so the kitties have someone so they don't get lonely. I guess, sure. I am kind of a crazy cat person.
And I hope they don't get Stockholm syndrome. Well, you come home, who are you?
They'll be like, one of them will instantly rebond with us. The older one, the 16-year-old crazy old lady, Charlie. The younger ones that are like six, the seven, the two brothers, we call them the Squittens. Yeah, they'll take about an hour to come out from under a bed or something.
Sure. Okay. So you got three of them now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just got the one now, and she was hiding under the couch for a moment there, but now she is, the second she hears us, one of us coming through the door, it's like she knows the squeaky sound of the door means one of us is home, and she'll Aww. Come running out from wherever she was hiding.
You have a kitty.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's your kitty?
Oh, we got little Izzy here. She is in joining me in the studio today. I don't know if she's going to get on the mic or not, but it's funny. We have all these little cat toys and like domes and caves and stuff for her, and she prefers her empty 12-pack from our ginger ale or whatever. It's amazing. The free stuff is what she enjoys. We Wow. caught her running in through one hole and sticking her head out of this other hole and, you know, chasing her own tail literally in an endless loop. It was hilarious.
So the Stockman Bill. What is the Stockman Bill? It's Steve Stockman who, you know, this doesn't – I'm not saying this politician has, you know, liberty in his heart. He's a tyrant. He's a Republican. Not that – no, they're all tyrants. The only non-tyrant who's ever been in U.S. Congress – was Ron Paul, and they kicked him out, and they drove him out. They made him so uncomfortable. Well, he was there a long time. He served like, I don't know, 20 years total, non-consecutive, something like that, 24 years. But he retired to spend time with his grandchildren, you know, which is smart. He's not a government goon anymore, not a government thug. And I have a lot of respect for him. He's my favorite government thug, as someone once said. But someone named Sovereign Curtis once said, Ron Paul's my favorite government thug. And I like that. Yeah.
He's doing cooler stuff now.
Is he? Is he still banned from Porkfest, or will he be there?
No, I don't think he's banned. I think they would gladly roll out the red carpet for that man. But I feel like he's been there before, though, actually. I thought he spoke at one of the Porkfests. I may be making that up, though.
He helped run Porkfest. He's the guy who booked the movie, my movie, oh, Guns and Weed Road
Ron
to Freedom.
Paul. Oh, I'm thinking Ron Paul, not Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Just to clarify.
Okay. So kitties. So the Stockman Bill allows taxpayers to use the same lame excuses as the IRS. All this proves is that some tyrants have a sense of humor. So this Texas congressman has introduced the dog ate my tax receipts bill, which would allow taxpayers who do not provide documents requested by the IRS to claim one of the following reasons: the dog ate my tax receipts, convenient unexplained miscellaneous computer function.
This one's great.
Traded the documents for five terrorists. Burned the documents for warmth while lost in the Yukon. Left on, I don't want to get the next one. Received water damage in the trunk of Ted Kennedy's car. Oh, forgot them in a gun case sold to Mexican drug lords. Forced to recycle by the municipal green czar. Was short on toilet paper while camping. And number 10, at this point,
this is the best.
What difference does it make? I like this. You
what
know, I heard,
difference
does I it heard make? A good one yesterday. Somebody said that they should offer Edward Snowden clemency to turn over the lost IRS emails.
Oh, man. Yeah, or your litter box liner.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ted Kennedy's car, man. You know, I heard Ted Kennedy speak at a commencement speech at the University of Virginia. I didn't go to UVA, but I lived in Charlottesville, and I went down there. I was just wandering down there, and people were rab. I mean, there were like 10,000 people in the square there, in the yard, whatever it is, in the main Jefferson Design campus there, and like 10,000 people just adoring Ted Kennedy while he's speaking. And like 10 people over on the side that I was cheering for was these 10 people that had signs that said, "We remember Chappaquiddick."
Okay. Chappaquiddick.
You don't know what that is?
No.
Ted Kennedy killed a girl. Ted Kennedy.
I heard about that.
Many decades ago. Joanne Kopetnik, something like that. Drove drunk into a lake, swam to safety.
Didn't
save her. Got away with it. Yeah, it was Chappaquiddick was the town.
I got you.
Yeah, you know, politicians, they can murder you and be loved. There you go.
Yeah.
That's not unique.
They'll put you on a t-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, that's business as usual. He just got noticed. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Have you ever wanted to move to the land of Libpear? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is Libpear in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, Garrett Fox, the Funky Fox, dancing in bell bottoms on the steps of Capitol Hill. How you doing there?
Excellent, excellent.
What are we doing? Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I was just going to say, I grabbed myself another fresh cup of coffee during the break there, and
sir, I may not agree with you, but I will fight to the death for your right to drink that coffee. Seriously. Seriously.
Who said that?
Oh, I think it's supposedly Nathan. A lawyer? I may not agree with you, sir.
That's what it is.
Patrick Henry.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the founding fathers, sort of, you know, guy that fought in the Revolutionary War, more or less. I think he's the guy that there's the famous statue of him in Massachusetts somewhere. That of him nobly holding a rifle. That's used in all those memes like libertarians, how you view yourself. And he's used that statue is used for the how you view yourself. And you know, the crazy hippie with the Tech Nine and the cat is the how others see you, you know,
the guy with the dreadlocks and his tinfoil hat
smoking a joint. Yeah.
Memes are great.
Memes. We like them. So let's talk about Porkfest for a whole segment.
Okay. I'm down.
I've never been, so it's going to be all you. I'm just going to be salivating at all of it.
Well, there's an exciting aspect to Porkfest that may go unnoticed.
What is Porkfest?
You know, I like to just consider it a glimpse into libertarian paradise or libcare for the hip.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's basically like Woodstock with better music and but guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a good way. Everybody's running around open carrying like they like they're allowed to or something.
Like
it's amazing.
They're running around carrying guns like they own themselves.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know what? I just noticed, Michael, you have a really boring phonetic name with a phonetic alphabet.
Mike Delta?
Mike Delta. Yeah. That's no fun. We can't call you that.
Well,
because I'm going to bring you a two-way radio.
Well, if you if you use my middle name, I'd be less boring. I'd be Mike Whiskey Delta.
Oh, okay, that's even better.
Yeah,
maybe we can just drop the mic, go Whiskey Delta,
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Oh, can I say that on the air? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I got Golf Foxtrot last year. I dropped the golf and E, so that would be Echo Golf Echo Foxtrot.
So are we going to be the only nerds really excited that we're reliving our childhood experience and getting to run around with walkie-talkies and actually have real guns on instead of toy guns like we were a kid? Or will other people be doing this too?
We'll be fighting over channels. I
really?
Can always guarantee it. Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Last year when we were there, there was some little girl that got a hold of a walkie-talkie and was on channel 3 the whole time. And it was driving me nuts because she was up like way before everybody else talking on the radio.
You didn't convene a libertarian people's court and charge her with and decide what to do with the tragedy of the commons of radio bands?
We just switched channels. So.
You know, People's Court is a really horrible name for that TV show because People's Court was the name of the kangaroo court in Nazi Germany where they would like have a show trial that, you know, they'd already decided the fate of the person before it was started. It's called
so maybe
People's
that's
Court,
part
man.
Of the whole thing.
It kind of makes sense. Yeah, I think yeah. I think Judge Judy looks at him and goes, "Okay, I've ruled, but tell me, talk for a half hour." Yeah,
yeah. We need to make a show out of this.
Yeah, man. So I know what my radio name's going to be.
Okay.
Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra. Okay. You know, I actually use that. The Fiends are on 24 radio stations, which is pretty astonishing for an independent show where the host is also the person calling, and we've only been around for a year. Free Talk Live is on 140 stations, but they've been around 10 years, and they're actually like they've hired someone to do the call, help with the calling now. I'm nowhere near able to do that, and they're great. I love them. They're my like sponsors in AA. Not financially and not in AA, but they're to for radio. They are to me what an AA sponsor is in AA. They're my big brothers who help me out. Yeah, it's pretty astonishing. We're on 24 stations, but we'd be on a lot more if we weren't called Fiends. Because every call I make, the program director's like, "What's a fiend?" Or for Friends, what? I'm like, no, Fiends, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. But a lot of programmers get that because a lot of them are ham radio operators or ex-military. So, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair or Libertarian Paradise and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there.
Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Woo!
Meow!
Meow.
Michael Dean, the Iron Fiend, and we have determined that this song by me is radio friendly. I had to listen to it to check because it's been so long. It's been about this band broke up in '93. This is We use this song in the things that come in. They call them something on radio. What is it? Bumpers?
Bumper music.
And you know. My band Bomb never got much radio play, and we're getting lots of radio play now because we're on at the beginning of these segments here. But I'm going to play this whole song. I checked out. It is radio friendly. I'm actually not going to play the minute and a half intro that's just kind of noise. I'm going to take it from kind of where the noise kind of starts and goes into the happy, snappy, life-affirming music that was my band Bomb. Here we go. Worms.
Makes me happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 That's so awesome.
Little party rock to get in shape for Porkfest here.
Get your groove going on.
Yeah. Is there going to be any music that good at Porkfest?
You know, there's going to be a lot of music this year. I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm just being cocky. There probably will be. I don't know. There really isn't any music as good as that anywhere. But, you know, maybe Led Zeppelin, Nirvana. That was Nirvana. Kurt Cobain's one of his favorite bands. We have that on record from Chris Novoselic, the bass player in Nirvana. And I know I say that every four episodes, but, you know, wouldn't you if your band, if you had like the bass player in Nirvana on record on the Freedom Fiend saying he turned Kurt Cobain turned him onto Bomb and they both loved Bomb.
That gives you some bragging rights right there.
You know, there is a line in that song. I'm being facetious, but it says, maybe I'll be happy if I kill myself. I hope that, you know, they say, like, some people say that rock music drives people to suicide. I wonder if that song drove Kurt Cobain to suicide.
Ooh, no, that would be, that'd be horrible.
I hope not. I don't want credit for that.
Yeah, well,
I don't want Courtney Love suing me for my, you know, $6 and three cats.
So what's the line about maybe I'll be happy if I shoot my van?
Yeah, it sounds like band, but it's van. It's that song is a reflection of where I was at in the late 80s, early 90s. And I was living a tumultuous life. It's pretty amazing. I made it to 30. And in Oklahoma, somebody shot our van while we were standing next to it. You know, it wasn't it wasn't the cops or like crazed skinheads or anything. It was a friend of ours just like, hey, this will be cool. And, this is before I was a gun guy, you know, didn't know anything about guns. And, and our roadie came running up and said, you're shooting at the gas tank.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Never mind the lives around here. Yeah, but it was destroy our van.
Yeah, and it only dented the outside of where the gas tank is. It didn't go in and blow us all up. Because the gun was like some antique, you know, like Civil War pistol with hand loads in it that weren't very powerful. And I think he was shooting ball bearings. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I could have died a lot of times, but yeah, on tour, when we did that song on tour, you know, about four or five shows in, we'd be fighting so much that I would generally sing that line. Maybe I'd be happy if I shoot my band.
Yeah. Yeah, that's understandable. So does listening to that song make you want to get the band back together? Like, do you have any flashbacks?
Ew. No. Oh my God. That was like the worst time of my life. It was also the best time of my life, but no, man, those people, no. One of them I'm on good terms with. One of them I completely cut out of my life because when I became libertarian, he like, you know, just said, he's a total liberal and he said horrible things to me, like that I was insane and needed help. And I just was like, I don't argue with people like that. I just cut them out of my life. I have no room for that. You know, it's not a matter of like, you disagree with me, sir, and we shall have a spirited conversation. No, that guy wanted me dead. You know, he's like, the government needs to do something about you because you don't support the government. And then the other guy is sociopathic, and I've completely cut him out of my life because he's, I don't know. He's somebody who fantasized about violence a lot, and I don't want that in my life.
Right.
And he was also just really rude and conniving and manipulative, and I don't have room for that in my life. The one guy, I won't say who was bad, but I'll say who was good, Doug Hilsinger, one of the guitar players, I still talk to once in a while, and he's a good guy. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm almost sorry I asked. It just made me think about – I used to be in a couple of bands myself. And I miss the days hanging out with a bunch of guys in a shed, you know, with egg cartons, you know, staple gun to the walls,
yeah.
trying to get a song together, but the guitarist won't quit playing with his guitar.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
I don't know. Asking me that would be like asking someone who's in prison, hey, do you ever think you want to go back? you know, this, and it wasn't like we did hang out in garages with egg crates stapled to the walls. But, we took it pretty far. I mean, we were a professional band. We were signed to Warner Brothers. We toured the world. We played 700 gigs in 43 states and six countries. Put out four records. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, you know, that's the things that go along with that are a little different than the good times playing Louie Louie and
sure.
And you know, let's lynch the landlord back in the in the garage.
Yeah, see, we never got anywhere. I think we played one Battle of the Bands and it was a train wreck. But we certainly did a couple of party shows. That was always fun.
Nah, there's at least a dozen people with our band name or one of our logos or artwork tattooed in their body. So,
well, it's been in movies too. What was that movie you had one of your posters hanging?
Oh, in Demolition Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a few of the songs were used in kind of big independent movies. There's a movie that I can't mention the name of it on air, but they used one of our songs in it. And it was Kurt Cobain said that was his favorite movie. It was kind of interesting, too. It's called No Skin Off My A.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the name of the song.
That was the name of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna have to search that.
I can't say the name of the song either. Put it this way: when I was in that band, I was not in training for a life on talk radio.
So I'm. That's No Skin Off My Alpha.
Yes, Alpha. Yes, Alpha Sierra. Alpha Sierra. Yes. Yeah. See, I know the NATO alphabet, but I have to think about it in my head. I've tried drilling it in to where it rolls off my tongue. It's not that I have to remember what the letter is for each thing. It's literally, I have to spell words out loud in my head. It's one place I'm not really advanced mentally. it's a weird, like, left brain, right brain thing where I have to, like, spell and convert. It's kind of like people who English is their second language. And they can speak English pretty well, but first they have to say it in their brain in their language and then translate it. That's how copy I am with it. Yeah, copy. Yeah, 10-4. What's your 10 now? What's your 10-20? What's your 20?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
10-9.
So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
It's that song. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend! And no, we will not be putting the speakers out the window of the media room at Porkfest at the nighttime show between 1 and 3 a.m. and keeping people up. Although Ernest Hancock will come in at 8 a.m. and wake you up by putting the speakers out the window. But I have respect for people's sleep, so I'm not going to do that. But if you're sleeping in the media room like people do, I'm going to poke you with a stick because I don't want any snoring on my show. So we're going to play some more of my band Bomb, getting in a mood for Porkfest here. And this is the song that was just playing in the bumper as we came in. I'm going to play this song. It's called one of these songs we called Happy All the Time. They're kind of the flip side. They were actually the flip side of a 12-inch EP that we put out. But I'll just play them, and I don't even remember the names of them. One's Lucy in the Sky with Desi. One is The Power of Suggestion. I forget which this one is. This one's The Power of Suggestion. Yep, Worms.
Worms.
Happy all the time.
And there we go. It's Bart Simpson giving the Vulcan death grip. All right, we'll be back with some talking. More talking, less rocking after this trip to the market. So the police code for person with a weapon is 417. Should we just walk around Porkfest saying that into the radio? 417, 417, 417.
Ouch! My back.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com. Wake up, America! Birds are dinosaurs. You're eating dinosaurs. Chickens are dinosaurs. Look it up. What, baby? I know I said that. I'm going to open every hour of every show with that. It's so important for people to know they're eating dinosaurs. Dinosaurs. Chickasaurus.
Science is awesome.
So, Garrett Fox, science, B. We're going to, you know who reminds me of Jesse on Breaking Bad?
Who's that?
Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, Jesse's kind of an idiot and Cody's not, but Jesse got stuff done, but just, they seem like they'd be friends, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
They're like the same kind of hip, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Jesse.
Yeah. Jesse's great, man.
Science, yes. Magnets.
Yeah. Magnets, yes. Yeah, so speaking of crime, we're doing a refresher course here on, before we go into the Rwandan genocide, we're going to talk about something fun, which is the 10 code, which goes along with the alphanumeric NATO alphabet, you know, like saying whiskey, tango, foxtrot instead of WTF or whatever that stands for, you know, spelling things out phonetically. That is accepted by militaries, at least, of, you know, almost basically all the countries in NATO, a lot of countries. And it's used in ham radio. It's used a lot of other places. It's really useful. You know what it's actually really useful? Is when you're talking to tech support to some guy in India, when you're calling some American company for tech support.
Yeah.
If you spell stuff out, because they all know it and they get it. And if you use that in your conversation with them, they'll realize you're not adult and kind of like talk to you a little more technically instead of like they'd talk to a great grandmother. So
that's a good tip there.
Yeah. So there's the NATO alphabet. There's also 10 codes. Now, the problem with 10 codes is different agencies have different ones. They're not standardized, but there's three that are pretty standard that I use all the time as a bike messenger. 10-4, 10-9, and 10-20. 10-20, okay, 10-4 means yes, I heard you, or affirmative, or I understood you. And 10-9 means I did not understand you. Please repeat. Like 10-9, yeah. Like you kind of say it irritated, then people repeat it. And 10-20 is your location. And it's often abbreviated as 20. Like, what's your 20? When I was a bike messenger, my dispatcher was a was a Native American fellow. And one time we were having problems with the radio because, you know, like these frequencies that are used for commerce, like are shared and they're not encrypted. So, you know, we'd be getting stepped on by some construction crew across the bay in Oakland. And my my dispatcher was telling my Native American dispatcher was telling me to go. He's like, yeah, go to 250 Columbus Avenue and see Marge and pick up a package going to, you know, one of the Transamerica Pyramid. And I'd be like, 10-9 on the pickup, and he'd be like, 250 Columbus. And I said, 250 what? And he said, Columbus, Columbus, like the guy who brought all you people over here. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, but not.
But not. Yeah. Columbus was a horrible person and murdered and raped people. And that is fact. And it's kind of bizarre. You know, I said, did a show the other day called Holidays Are So Square. Holidays are collectivist. And they really are, because all of them are either like serving the state, or even if they're not, they're kind of like guilting you into being like other people. Like, you know, Valentine's Day, if you're single, right, you're a loser on Valentine's Day. Or Mother's Day, if your mother's dead, you're sad on Mother's Day. You know, they want to bum you out into buying stuff, or they want to reinforce the state. You know, 4th of July, Flag Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, go on and on and on and on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and it's all just to sell Hallmark cards and
yeah,
go buy stuff.
And it's kind of, it's bread and circus. It's like, you know, don't look at the fact that the police are being militarized in your neighborhood with weapons of war and want to take your guns and will kick in your door because they transpose two numbers on a warrant and are trying, you know, think you're your neighbor who had a bag of weed and they come in and kill you. And, you know, your door gets banged in, you pull a gun like any good American would, and then they murder you. Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, you go to the July 4th celebration and sing hymns to the state and forget about all that stuff. And don't even notice the irony of, like, that a lot of places, they search your bag entering a 4th of July freedom celebration now.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened to me not too long ago. I went to an Orioles game and they were singing the national anthem. And I completely forgot about that part of, you know, going to a baseball game. So everyone's standing up, taking their hats off, putting their hands over their hearts. And I had to leave the seats. I had to like go. I went and got another beer. I was like, I can't sit around and listen to all this.
And we're not saying this because we don't love freedom. We love freedom. But those are not hymns to freedom. Those are hymns to obedience and war and compliance and serving a master. And they do a little trick of, you know, they trick you by saying, well, it's democracy. It's of the people. Can you really still say that when Barack right. Obama is doing to you what he's doing to you and Hillary's going to do what she's going to do to you? That's democracy in action. You know, that's, you don't have a king anymore. You have a different king every 4 years and you have 535 kings that, you know, agree or disagree with the king, but no matter who's in power, you get the shaft. So back to
every
the,
time.
Back to the 10 codes. So 10-4, 10-9, and 10-20 are pretty common. There's some other ones too. They're not 10 codes. They're three number codes, and these differ from agency to agency. Like 187 is commonly believed to be a homicide, but that's only in California police code. But you know, rappers have made it a badge of honor, so it's thought of internationally as a code for homicide. But in this is kind of interesting, in Nevada, in Vegas, where those people murdered some cops recently and somebody blamed it on my movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, the code for murder in Nevada is 420.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Which is universal code for marijuana, time to smoke marijuana to most people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or their national holiday.
If I was a conspiracist, I would make something of that, but I'm not gonna. So other ones, 417 is a widely used one by many departments for person with a weapon. 502 is intoxicated driver. 5150 is mentally disturbed person, which is a California welfare and institutions code. But I think we should just walk around Porkfest saying 417, you know, because it's person with a weapon. I think we should just say that constantly every time we check in with each other.
Yeah. And we'll have to get your 20.
And then say 10-9 when we're standing next to each other. And then 10-4. Yep. So are these that kind of radio called Family Services Radio?
I'm not sure if that's what they're called. I mean, it's like you said, they're basically walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Okay. How far do they work in line of sight?
Well, I've got two different ones, and the one I'm going to lend you has a longer range than the other guys, and it actually has, it goes through a whole bunch more channels. Like, we have these dinky little blue ones that only go up to channel 5.
Kid ones.
And then I've got, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they definitely work on the campgrounds. We actually tested it out last year, and we were driving down to the little town to go get some groceries or whatever, and we were testing it along the road. And we basically got almost to that hotel up the road from Rogers before it started cutting out. So it's got some pretty good range to it.
You know, having walkie-talkies as a kid is one of the reasons I'm on radio, because it was something I wanted. And, you know, that's not a common gift for kids or young boys anymore. It was when I was a kid.
Now they get cell phones.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, I don't want to talk to this. I can only talk to one person. This is stupid. Yeah. I can't text on this.
Right.
I can't watch the YouTubes.
Yeah. How do you take a picture?
Yeah, but, you know, having a walkie-talkie, like, made me fall in love with the magic of radio, which made me experiment with low-power FM transmitters when I was 12 and ham radio when I was a teenager. And then, you know, then there was this, like, 20-year diversion of being a rock star, and then a 10-year diversion of being a filmmaker and a published author, a well-published author. And then I'm just back to radio. So I'm basically, like, a little kid again. And, you know, being at Porkfest, like being in the woods with all my friends with a gun and a walkie-talkie, that is going to be so much like my fantasies as a kid that it's scary.
That's cool. I like that. That's a, you know, a nice little throwback to your childhood.
Yeah, because I had the toy gun. I had the junior sheriff set with this, you know, plastic, actually metal six shooter. The metal six shooter that shoots caps.
Yeah, the little cap guns. Yeah.
Which, you know, would get you like... And I brought it to school once, too. And the teacher was like, okay, well, let me hold this for you, and I'll give it back to you at the end of the day. And it wasn't punitive. It was just – it was more, I don't want this distraction because, you know, kids aren't paying attention. They don't want to play with your gun. If a kid brought that to a school now, they would call SWAT and arrest him.
The whole place would be on lockdown.
And he'd be put in the mental hospital – in the mental, you know, system – and be forced to, you know, attend counseling and probably be forbidden to own a gun as an adult in some way. You know, he'd probably be medicated. Yeah, the times have changed and not in a good way, man.
Well, can you imagine if a kid not only had one of those guns, but the caps themselves? I mean, isn't that like small quantities of gunpowder?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not smokeless powder. It's gunpowder, like intentionally to make smoke. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss my old cap guns. I used to run around all the time with those. You had the roll of caps, and it would just like all this paper would be getting shredded as you were running through it.
Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah, it's kind of like a machine gun, like a belt fed pop gun. Yeah. Do you remember those snapper things that kind of looked like a sperm that you'd throw on the ground and they'd have a little bang?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's in those is fulminated mercury, which is the same thing that Walt uses in Breaking Bad to like blow up someone else's rival drug den to escape when there's guns to his head.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess they're not nice blue shiny crystals though.
Yeah, no, they were clear in that, which I think they are. That was although Mythbusters must busted that myth. That quantity that he had would like end all human life in that in that building, you know. He wouldn't have walked out like Bugs, you know, like the Roadrunner, kind of charred a little bit.
Right. Yeah, that was such a cool scene too.
That stuff is also used in the primers of those Cold War Mosin ammo bullets, and they're caustic. They leave acid in your rifle, which is why you have to pour Windex down your rifle after you're done shooting it to neutralize it.
Interesting.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Got your kitty? Hold your kitty tight.
She was in my lap the entire last segment. It was nice.
I don't want to talk about the Rwandan genocide this segment. Let's start next segment. I want to talk about acoustic kitties. But first I want to say from the last segment, I was thinking about when I was a kid and we had the little you know, six shooters with the cap guns. And there were two games that we generally played. One was Cops and Robbers.
Naturally.
And the other was Cowboys and Indians.
Sure.
And it just hit me, in both of those games, I didn't choose the state guy. I choose the robber in Cops and Robbers, and I chose the Indian in Cowboys and Indians.
You know what? I wish I could agree with you. I always wanted to be a cowboy, though.
Well, cowboys are, I guess they're not really state, but in that kind of game, they're kind of state because, you know, you're walking around shooting Indians.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I guess
but
now.
But they had cool hats and boots and
Do you know where the term maverick comes from?
I haven't the foggiest.
It's a person. It was a person. Let's see. He was a, can't find him. It was a American land baron who in the Wild West, and he was a guy who just he didn't brand his cattle, and he was called and it became you were a maverick if you didn't brand your cattle.
I wonder what would be the benefit of that.
There was no benefit. He was just so rich he didn't really care about the particulars of ranching because he was so rich from so many other things like stealing land.
Sure.
You know, and having insider trading in railroads and things like that. But yeah.
So maybe he didn't want them to track his cattle.
He didn't want the government tracking his cattle. Well, the thing was, anybody could claim unbranded cattle. So it wasn't a good business move. But I guess he also had some really bad cowboys who would protect his unlicensed cattle.
Sure.
And
yeah,
that's where the phrase, you know, a maverick comes from. Well, you know, Wyoming, where I live, is the cowboy state. It's also the state in America, the place in America where the most dinosaur bones have been dug up.
Oh, yep. Interesting.
Which is probably why also there's so much oil here. There's also dino bones in surrounding states. There's a lot from western South Dakota. There's a lot from Utah, some from Colorado, and some from Montana. But this, you know, kind of four-state district is basically the dino zone in America.
I heard there was a final Jurassic Park movie coming out, since speaking of dinosaurs. It's going to be called Jurassic World.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's just a rumor or not, but I'd be very excited to see that.
So it's going to be a whole planet of reanimated dinos?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember the last ones, but the dinosaurs had eventually gotten off the island and were coming into New York.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and nobody has any guns in New York because they're illegal, so only the police have them. And the police there, when they try to shoot a burglar, they end up shooting 10 innocent bystanders and missing the burglar. Man, talk about like people that shouldn't have guns. New York Police Department, or at least a lot of them, they often murder dogs and people running away and the wrong person and the innocent person. And that thing where some guy like pulled out a gun in front of the Empire State Building about 2 years ago and shot somebody, you know, like two cops all of a sudden started shooting everybody except the guy with the gun, and then finally got the guy with the gun.
Actually, I recall hearing yesterday or the day before, something like that, Chicago, apparently there's a bill in play to allow guns in that city now.
Yeah, good luck. It'll be so heavily regulated, it'll be like it is in D.C., where technically you can own a gun, but, you know, it's probably easier to start a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the acoustic kitties. This just made me so mad at government. The CIA in the 60s, during the Cold War, attempted to use cats in spy missions, intending to spy on the Kremlin and the Soviet embassies, recording the links between the buildings in the area. A battery and microphone, this is the part I hate, were implanted into a cat and an antenna into its tail. Ugh, I hate the government.
That's disgusting.
This would allow the cats to innocuously record and transmit sound from their surroundings. Due to problems with distraction and the cat's sense of hunger had to be addressed in another operation. Oh, so they gave it like a stomach staple. Surgical and training expenses amounted to $250 million. So basically what happened, though, was cats were useless in war because they didn't want to help. They didn't want to help the government. They wouldn't go where they were told. They'd like wander somewhere else.
Can't tell a cat what to do.
I know. They're anarchists. Whereas dogs, governments love dogs. They use them for everything. Attacking people, sniffing out herbs.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean, the Acoustic Kitty, talking on Porkfest Channel 1, open mic here. Open mic means something different with radio than it means with poetry slams. Open mic means you left your mic key open and people can hear what you're saying that you don't think they should be saying. I would say kind of like Mark Edge of Free Talk Live, but he knew that was happening. That was amazing, man. Did you hear that?
I did. I heard the ringtone, too.
Were you listening live?
I was not listening live, but, you know, the way the internet works, it got around quick. So.
Well, it was funny because during it, I got an email from Nikki Darling saying, all it said was, "Are you hearing this?" And I'm like, yeah. I didn't know what she was talking about. I'm like, girl, we're in different states. I can't hear what's going on in your home. What are you talking about? And I forgot about radio and internets and stuff. And she's like, no, turn on Free Talk Live. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say any more. It was interesting. It was fascinating. And let's never speak of it again.
Deal.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about the Rwandan genocide, which I mistakenly called the Gawandan genocide during the break, but Gawanda was the mental hospital in the county I grew up in. So it's not the Gawandan genocide. It's the Rwandan genocide. It was a genocidal mass slaughter of the Tutsi people in Rwanda, which is a country in Africa, by members of the Hutu majority. It was about a 100-day period. In 1994, an estimated 500,000 to a million Rwandans were killed, constituting as much as 20% of the country's total population and 70% of the Tutsi then living in Rwanda. Tutsi is T-U-T-S-I, also known as Watusi, if you've heard that term. Here's the thing. This was a straight-up ethnic cleansing by one group of another in a country, murdering their neighbors in our lifetime. And most people I've talked to have never heard of this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you sent me this article we were looking at. I just had no idea any of this had happened. I'm disgusted by my own ignorance.
Yeah, and it came up recently. I knew about it, but I did more research about it recently. There was some Republican congressman who was bashing Obama's gun grabby. You know, Obama wants to steal your guns and your right to self-defense, and he's a murderer and a tyrant and just a cad, and I think his feet stink. But Obama, you know, there was a Republican congressman who said that could lead to an American version of the Rwandan genocide, to where, you know, one group murders another people. And I don't know if he was talking about ethnically. He's like, I don't really think with the government, I really don't think race is the issue anymore. You know, I think the government doesn't care what color you are as long as you hate liberty and love the government.
Yeah, I think it's more about the classes now, too.
Poor and rich, you mean?
Yeah. And then the middle class, you know, the working men.
Which, I don't know, because a lot of the working men work for the government now in one way or another. you know?
Yeah, I could certainly get conspiratorial on this note, but
yeah, I don't even want to go down that path. I just want to say Obama is a tyrant. He's horrible. He has murdered an American teenager without due process with a drone just because the guy's dad may have been a bad guy. Yeah, he killed the son. Like, oh, you, and then someone from the State Department said, oh, you should have picked a better son. You know, you should have picked a better dad. Like, you have a choice.
Well, not to mention all the innocents that are getting droned overseas and everything, too. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's every day, it seems.
Yeah. And so this Republican congressman said something, you know, usually the thing is people say, well, in Nazi Germany, Hitler took away the guns from the Jews and then was able to enslave them, which is kind of partially true. It's a little more complicated than that. But, you know, it's not outright if they'd kept their guns. Really, if they'd kept their guns, you know, and not turned them in, they might have done better. It's less about guns, really, and more about attitude and willingness to fight, because there was the ghetto uprising in Warsaw where a small group of Jews who had, like, you know, 10 revolvers, like, fought and lived and basically did things like, you know, shot a Nazi soldier with the revolver from around the corner from 10 feet away, and then took his rifle and his uniform and the chocolate in his pocket. And, you know, then dressed as a Nazi, walked up to another Nazi and, you know, killed 8 more Nazis and fought a, you know, guerrilla resistance war that didn't start with having the same equipment as the Nazis. It started with having, you know, a broken revolver that only fires half the time, literally. Like, they had really bad weaponry.
Can you imagine waking up in the morning and knowing that that was on your agenda? Like, oh, okay, I just have to go dress up as a Nazi today and start killing to maintain some sort of freedom. That's just insane.
Well, I have no problem with killing Nazi soldiers in World War II. I mean, I proudly own 2 guns, Russian-made guns, that were used to kill Nazis. You know, in the early part of the war, before the U.S. was in it, in World War II, if you were anti-Hitler, you were branded as pro-communist.
There's no in between.
Right. That's basically why Charlie Chaplin was kicked out of America and had to go live in Switzerland. Was he made a movie called The Great Dictator where he played Hitler, making fun of Hitler, which wasn't hard because he had the same mustache and haircut.
Yeah.
But Chaplin was a good guy, and he was almost an anarchist. He was very against governments and their tyranny, and he was very anti-war. And very not buying the nationalism of we must do what this leader says, we must do what that leader says. You know, if you think My Country Right and Wrong, think about that fact. Like, you were not allowed to be openly anti-Adolf Hitler at the beginning of World War II in America because you would be branded a communist.
Jeez.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird.
But I own some commie guns that I proudly own and like the fact that they were used in battle to kill Nazis. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. What kind of guns are they?
Mosin-Nagant rifles.
Okay.
Chambered in 7.62 by 54. But anyway, I digress. So this congressman, you know, the usual line from gun lovers, and I'm a member of the Jews for the Protection of Firearm Ownership, the JPFO, which is, you don't have to be Jewish to belong to it, and it's a much better gun rights organization than the NRA. I recommend you go to jpfo.org and check it out. And, you know, that's run by, it was started by a Jewish guy who loves the fact that the Jews used guns against the Nazis, a few of them, during the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, which went on for a while, and a few people actually got out instead of going to the camps or being exterminated in various ways. So, and they were literally like living in the sewer. I mean, it was literally underground for a lot of it. Wow. But this guy, this congressman said something about, you know, the Rwandan genocide, and people, liberals went ballistic. They were like, that could never happen here. But it's funny because it's like the same liberals who were saying, I think we should round up these gun owners and shoot them if they don't give up their guns. I mean, that's like the Rwandan genocide, but with guns instead of race. The thing is, the Rwandan genocide, the differences between the two types, I mean, you know, it wasn't blacks versus whites. It was like blacks of one type. I mean, they're so, I could barely tell these people apart. I looked at a bunch of pictures of them, and I mean, it's kind of like telling English from Irish, you know?
Right, right. Which is interesting too, because how do you know when you're committing these murders, this mass genocide, how do you know you're not taking out some of your own guys?
Because the national ID cards in that country had your ethnicity written on them, whether you were Tutsi or Hutu.
Okay. And is that serious?
Yeah. So they basically went around and said, let me see your ID. And if it said Tutsi, they murdered you. There was a lot of war rape. Most of the women who survived were brutally raped by many soldiers. This was a war. Rwanda genocide in 1994 was neighbor against neighbor in a whole country. And it was, here's the really sickest, almost to me, just sick, a really sick aspect of it. Talk about hate speech radio. The national radio stations there were taken over by the Hutu. Well, they already, you know, had them. They took them over and put their guys on the air and basically turned into talk radio where they were telling people 24 hours a day to go kill their neighbors.
Oh,
I mean, this wasn't just soldiers doing the killing. This was like, you know, and it was people that like didn't even have guns. It was like, pick up your machete and go murder your neighbor, your Tutsi neighbor in his sleep right now. They were saying things like that 24/7. They were playing music, too. It was like good time party, murder your neighbor show. You know, they'd play popular music of that country and then play three or four songs and then talk for 5 or 10 minutes about why you should go murder your Tutsi neighbors. And the word they had for them was the same word as cockroach. So they were making them subhuman. And there were two or three talk show hosts or DJs that were, you know, basically talk show hosts that were later tried for war crimes in The Hague for doing that and given, you know, 10 years in prison or something and then let out after 8. But yeah, and this was people at the beginning of it, the really like the educated people in the country when this started left the country. So the people that remained were largely illiterate, so they couldn't use written propaganda, so they had to use talk radio.
Yeah, and so what it looks like this whole thing started because the president of Rwanda was on a plane that got shot down.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, every war has this and that and complicated thing. Okay, let's see. The plane was shot down, killing all on board. Genocidal killings began the following day. Soldiers, police, and militia quickly executed Tutsi and moderate Hutu leaders, then erected checkpoints and barricades. I mean, some of this just sounds like America right now. And, you know, liberals and statists would say, you're insane. The government, all those checkpoints are for your safety. They erected the militia and police and soldiers erected checkpoints and barricades, used the Rwandans' national identity card to systematically verify their ethnicity and kill Tutsi. So the differences in these people were so small that they couldn't tell for sure visually. They had to check their government ID. You know, they're basically like it. Like I say, it's like English and Irish, which they've been fighting a war for a long time, but that's over. Oh, who knows? I mean, that's over, you know, wanting to be their own government, Northern Ireland. But, yeah. Google it, people. Rwandan genocide. Google it.
And brace yourselves. There's some disturbing pictures.
Ugh. Yeah, man. And don't give up your guns. Bury them if you need to.
Freedom Fiends.
Before it becomes illegal to do that.
This is what radio sounds like now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is Michael Dean, the Acoustic Kitty. And we have Garrett Fox, the Funky Fox. Hello, Garrett.
Yo, yo.
So I don't really want to dwell on the Rwandan genocide. I'm just going to link it, tell you to Google it. I'll link it in the show notes. I'll link some warning only click here if you aren't eating pictures. And, you know, the thing is, the United States loves, and I'm not bashing the United States. All countries are evil. The United States is just bigger and better at being evil. The United States and the UN did nothing to help Rwanda during the, to help the people during this genocide. You know why? Because there's no oil there. That country has very few natural resources to steal. They basically, their main economy is farming using like simple hand tools and, you know, old diesel tractors from the 40s that are left over from Russia from, from the 50s. So they have nothing worth stealing. So the U.S. didn't go in to help people and liberate the hell out of them. But, you know, Iraq is just, I mean, you can like poke a hole in the ground and oil comes up pretty much. And same with Syria. They wanted to, you know, liberate people with bombs in Syria. Syria has a lot of oil. So, you know, they don't care. The U.S. doesn't care how much some African dictator acts like Hitler. They won't go help unless the country has oil. Now, the U.S. is getting very interested in Africa, and they're saying it's because the militants are there. But a lot of, and you know, oh, they must help. There's tyrants. There's warlords there. You know what, though? A lot of the reason the United States is suddenly interested in Africa is fracking technology, which has kind of been, I wouldn't say mastered, but it's become a lot more economical from use in America. Fracking technology makes some of those African countries able to be raped for oil. So yeah. The U.S. is saying, yes, we must go help these simple indigenous people, hardworking people of wherever.
Yeah, and I guess it just wasn't good enough to go guard the coffee fields in Rwanda.
Yeah, a lot of coffee comes from Rwanda. Mmm, coffee. Tastes like genocide in the morning.
Oh, no. I'm never going to be able to enjoy a cup again.
Is coffee a conflict mineral? I don't really know that it is. There's no, it's nothing you can do in the United States is going to help Rwanda other than not supporting the United States and its tyranny spreading, you know, not saying, oh, it's good that we're sending, that they're sending troops over to Africa all over the place. That's not good. Another thing you should do is not support the UN, because a lot of what the UN does is they go disarm peasants in these countries. So when these, you know, war rape squads go through, the people have nothing to defend themselves. You know, basically you should somebody should start something called Arm the Children, you know, not the child soldiers, but, you know, like something like one laptop for every child soldier. No, I'm kidding. Which, because that quickly becomes one, you know, 100 laptops for every 1,000 laptops for every warlord. But no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Angelina Jolie should be on TV supporting something called Arm the Children of Rwanda.
And she's got her own little army now, too.
Yeah, she's one of those anti-gun liberals who owns a gun, too.
Yeah.
I'm not down with that.
You can't protect yourself, but I can. Mm-hmm. So, on a lighter note, are you all packed up and ready to go?
Yeah, man. Yeah, right after the show, my buddy's coming over who's going to house sit for us. And, you know, I'll show him where the shotgun is and show him all the weird inconsistencies of our house. We have this, like, really weird wiring system from the 60s that's got panels on the wall with like 10 push buttons on them that control the lights. And the really weird thing is, like, there's two panels like that in the house and they're completely different. Different buttons control different lights on them. Yeah.
I can see how that could be confusing in the middle of the night.
Yeah. The previous owner was a bit of a shut-in and a bit of a tinkerer and lived here for like 80 years until he died in the room I'm in right now.
That's not creepy.
Man, any room you've been in any house that's over 20 years old, someone's probably died in it. People die in their homes peacefully.
It tends to happen. Nobody gets out of here alive.
And then your kitties eat you if you don't have any friends that come over regularly and check on you. Cats
what
will eat you
go.
Cats will eat you. Cats are wild beasts we keep in our homes.
Oh, they make life nicer.
May I someday be food for my many cats.
Put that in your will.
I'll see you at Porkfest, brother. Looking forward to meeting you.
Can't wait, buddy.
Worms.
Worms.
Squirms. Yeah, I'll if you want to find me at Porkfest, I'll be the guy with the pink gun.
Yeah.
Worms.
Over and out.
10-4, good buddy.